Good evening. The show tonight begins in a discussion about the trillionaires coming to market, the $1 trillion plus for SpaceX and attendant business models, the trillion plus for OpenChat AI, the operation that started it all, and near to a trillion for Anthropic, which is a breakaway bunch of engineers from OpenChat, OpenAI. $1 trillion launches. I know best about Anthropic and SpaceX. SpaceX, Grok, Starlink, and other attendant businesses. What I see in the Financial Times is the 1 trillion of the 1.78 estimated trillion that will be raised on IPO within these next hours is for the parts of the apparatus that don't make money right now and have big promise in the far future, such as landing on Mars and building a colony, or landing on the moon and sustaining a colony. Also, the great expectation for Grok, part of the offering. The estimate is that perhaps 0.78 trillion, that's a lot of money, is worth the Starlink, something that it does make money. I'm talking to you on Starlink. It works perfectly well. Everybody else is chasing it. It was a great idea and well executed. Couldn't have been done as swiftly and neatly, and it's still building, without the innovation in Falcon 9, the reusable part of the boosters. All credit to Musk and his engineers. However, the public is about to buy eagerly the IPO of SpaceX. I observe that the opening price is unlikely to be sustained. It's a guessing game. It's the market. I hear anecdotes of those who have owned privately this placement by SpaceX. It's been possible for some years to buy privately in. Plan to sell at opening. Do not think it's going to go higher in the near future. It's a game at IPO. It will probably be the same as the other two. These are finding their natural price. They're worth something. You have to find the price on that day. The next day could be another price. The market has been retreating for 7 days, maybe 30 days. Certainly seven. Anticipating the offerings, raising cash from the profits of the companies that do make money, such as the Mag7. Safe to raise money there because you can buy it back and not get chased away or not feel the bottoms falling out underneath you, especially if you don't pay taxes on your earnings, which is what the corporate, what the big traders don't. Individuals pay, but the big traders balance everything out. There are bargains being offered in the sell-off. It's fun. It encourages people. Big swings. For example, NVIDIA, which I watch carefully. NVIDIA is worth every penny of $200 a share or more. It is growth, it is profit, it is visionary. But right now they're playing with it. Let's put it this way. They're playing around 200. They know they could take it higher. Good for them. I like the markets. It's endlessly unpredictable. Other news is the late in the day news of what appears to be down by fire of an Army helicopter, described variously, but mostly as an Apache, off the coast of Oman. Now, that's not a Navy operation, so it's operating out of Oman, question mark. Out of UAE, question mark, unknown. There's a lot of unknowns. The two pilots were rescued by a drone sea craft. Wonderful. First time they've ever done it. Picked them up, took them to a rendezvous point with a helicopter, and they were back home. At the same time, Iran is saying, we didn't do it, or implying they didn't do it. The U.S. retaliated within hours, almost textbook, like sending a postcard. Bang. Other news. The markets I've covered, the violence I've covered, the retaliation I've covered. I explored what we know about the Ebola outbreak. It's a rare form of Ebola in Africa. The nation's now not at risk but in danger. The Congo spreading up to Uganda and over to Ethiopia, mentioning other states in between. Ethiopia is in permanent civil war. Uganda is not that healthy, although there's a large colony there of NGOs. So the Ebola is threatening, but the jihadis are equally threatening. The Financial Times ran a very clever piece about the jihad comes to Ebola or Ebola comes to jihad, compounding the efforts of everyone to solve the Ebola, because you've got men being recruited out of the camps that may or may not be infected. Right now they have more than 300 cases identified. They think they're weeks behind. My colleague Gregory Copley reminds that it's been in Africa, in Central Africa, for more than 100 years, maybe permanently. And when we brush up against it, it's threatening, but the people there have learned to live with it or live beside it. Comes out of the bush. Don't know much more about that, but this is a rare version of it. Also, attention to the situation in Britain with Prince Harry saying he wants to come home. Good for him. But the news is that his brother, that is the Prince of Wales, the man who will be king, doesn't want to make peace. Apparently Harry's offense to the family was profound, and it'll be some time before he's brought back in safely. And then Gregory reminds it'll be difficult to trust him. It's a tragedy, but in Middle Ages he would have just disappeared as a challenge to the king or the heir apparent. I asked Gregory, could Charles settle this? Unlikely. The brothers will outlive the king, and their enmity is profound. William's responsibilities are to be king, and Harry mocked it in some fashion. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Good night.